previously on Crafty Beer Girls. You have to remember that that when I drink, it's usually by myself because
my
husband does not drink with me. So it's
I'll
not
drink
like
with you.
You will?
Yes.
Oh,
I will me out more.
I know.
With you.
Is that a musical I can go see?
I just think of Jenny like
that sounds like so you know famished. What that sounds like? That sounds like Saturday's Warrior or something.
No.
Some like Mormon musical.
It's Sarah McLachlan. I will remember you.
I will remember
with
you.
Like the sad puppies or like the famished children. Like,
oh, I didn't get
so
that.
So many puppies and children go hungry and don't
day.
Have beer. They're so sad. And it's Jenny.
You almost sound like her.
I will drink with you.
Reach deep into your hearts and your pockets and come and drink with Jenny.
Reach deep into your cooler and your refrigerator.
Reach deep in your Yeti.
Yeti.
Oh, God.
Like Jenny's looking for drinking partners, by the way.
Sign
no,
up.
I'm
not.
I'll drink with
Would
you.
Would you like to drink with Jenny? You can email us at craftybeergirlsblog@gmail.com.
I'll meet you anywhere.
Send your application
anywhere.
Today.
That's just weird. No, don't do that.
No, don't. Please don't.
Jenny,
don't
wow.
fucking do that.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome to the great state of Utah. When Mormon pioneers settled here and stated, "This is the place," they weren't kidding. From our majestic mountains, to our numerous national parks, to our very many and plentiful outdoor activities and adventures, there's something for everyone in this state, including drinking. It's interesting to note that peppered across what is known as the Beehive State are 30-plus craft beer breweries. From as far north as Ogden, from as far south as St. George, from as far east as Vernal, and as far west as Tooele. No matter where you live or travel within the state of Utah, you're bound to find some delicious and award-winning craft beer. Here now to share their extensive thoughts and knowledge about Utah's craft beer scene are your Crafty Beer Girls, Jenny Schaefer, and Lauren Lurch. From craftybeergirls.com.
Welcome to the Crafty Beer Girls podcast. How about that?
How come you always get to do the intro? Hey,
Lauren, would you like to do the intro this time?
Nah, go ahead.
Can I do the intro?
Yeah, do the intro, Julie.
Welcome to Crafty Beer Girls Podcast. Yeah. Sorry,
okay.
I know.
You can say it a few times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Retake. Take two. I'm on the spot.
You want some CBD oil?
Maybe. Welcome to Crafty Beer Girls Podcast.
Yay.
Ooh, what's your name?
Julie Schuler.
This is Julie Schuler. She's the... Well, actually, let's say this.
Julie Schuler.
It's me. Julie
it's her. Super cute. Well, we're the Crafty Beer Girls. I'm Jenny Schaefer.
I am Lauren Lurch.
And we are here at Strap Tank in Lehi, Utah. This brand new Strap Tank Brewery location. And we're here with two brewers. One is... Sean Smith, he's the brewer here at the Lehi location, and we have Julie Schuler, who is the brewer down in Springville, which is the original location. So thanks for being on our podcast, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for giving us beer. Woo-hoo. Cheers.
And cheers. Cheers to that. So isn't this, if I'm not mistaken, isn't this your, Julie, isn't this your creation?
No,
or is
this
it Sean?
One's Sean.
So, yeah.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, okay. I'm actually, yeah, I do like the head brewer gig for Strap.
Yeah, so you're the head brewer.
Kind of see over, you know, all
okay,
the
so you're the head brewer over Julie, too, even
yeah.
though you're up here.
Yep, yeah, just
okay,
overseeing
cool.
the whole brewing operation.
Right,
really.
So this is actually your creation. For some reason, yep. I don't know why I thought it was Julie's, but.
Because we talked about it at Pink Boots.
At Pink
maybe?
Boots. Yeah, 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 we were down at the Springville location for Pink Boots, and she let us try it right off the Bright Tank.
Yes.
It was super tasty.
Yeah.
I think it was in the fermenter.
Oh, was it in the fermenter still? Oh, shit.
It doesn't matter. Whatever. It's still pretty tasty.
Whatever, it was in a tank. Still awesome.
Yeah. I didn't know it was just in a tank, and she like got it out, and it was
it's
really
in
good.
A shiny thing. I don't know.
So what is it though? What are we drinking?
So it's a smoked Helles. We called it Hobble Creek Helles after Hobble Creek in Springville.
Okay.
Big fan of alliteration, so figured why not.
Of where?
Hobble Creek.
In Springville.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but what did you say you were a fan of?
Alliteration.
Alliteration?
Yeah.
Hobble Creek Helles.
Hobble Creek Helles?
Am I...
It's when
do I need to look this up? What is alliteration?
Jenny, alliteration is when you have words that are right after each other that start with the same letter.
Well, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I learned
Is that an okay explanation?
Yeah, I think that's exactly about right. Yeah.
So they have the same letter? They start with the same letter?
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
It's alliteration?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry that I looked at
something
you so weird.
Simply stated.
I should have stutters.
I should have gone to college.
Stagnantly.
Well, I didn't know what you said. Perfect. I was like, did I hear it wrong?
Next time on Grammar Podcast with the Crafty Beer Girls.
Exactly.
Oh, we got another one too. Lehigh Light.
Lehigh Light. Lehigh Light.
Hey, I'm Ella. Oh, yeah. What do you know?
Alliteration. All right.
Alliteration. Yeah.
Oh, alliteration?
Alliteration. Yes.
With an A?
Yes.
Okay, I got to write this down. I'm taking notes.
Just dropping knowledge.
Yes, I'm learning stuff. This is awesome. I learn stuff all the time on Crafty Beer Girls. It's really very educational podcast, if I do say so. I probably spelled that totally wrong.
We just figure out what we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah. And you mentioned Lehigh Light. I actually tried that.
Because I
ordered that when I was here for the soft opening. And I think I ordered it because it was something I hadn't had. And there was a lot of stuff on the menu that I'd had before. I think that were from the Springville location. And anyway, it was super light.
Yeah,
and
no, it's
almost, I mean, you could, it had color to it.
Oh yeah, barely.
Yeah.
But no, it was, you know, traditional American light beer.
Yeah.
Has corn and rice in it.
Yeah.
Super light and crushable.
I was surprised how much I liked it.
Yeah, no,
I was kind of into it.
Yeah, no, they're great. Yeah. like people hate on them a lot, but I mean,
know.
That's like what great. I want to be drinking right now.
I know.
So,
and what's the best seller?
Yeah, we're already out
in
of
the
it.
In the world,
so
you know?
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like a nice summer day. It was hot.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah, like, I don't want to think about it. I just want to drink it.
It goes well
like,
with everything.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this smoked Helles goes well with food, too.
Yeah, like, no, that's another, you know, great beer to pair food with. Is a smoked beer.
Yeah.
So some people don't really think about, but like this and barbecue is just like
right.
Mind-blowing.
Do you guys have barbecue food here?
I mean, there's a few like barbecue dishes,
yeah.
But it's the only one I can think of is like the chicken barbecue pizza.
Yeah. Ooh. We have ribs.
But like
oh,
that with
good.
This is
yeah.
like mind-blowing.
Bring out the smoke a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
Lauren's
and like
starting to drool.
It's really subtle in the actual beer, but once you have that extra flavor, that helps elevate it, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I smell burgers.
No, actually, I do smell burgers.
Yeah.
Who's making it up?
We should order some burgers.
Julie, tell us something about yourself that nobody really knows.
Yeah.
Hi. Lauren,
yeah.
Really
like, Lauren, I feel like that.
Lauren likes to put people on the spot. That's her favorite
oh,
thing.
So much
she likes to nail people.
Come on. One time in the second grade.
Yeah. Like, tell us something about yourself that most people would be like, oh, okay, cool. I didn't know that.
She wears boots.
I do.
Pink boots, and she brews.
I do.
She's
sometimes
a cool
wear
chick brewer.
Hey, Jenny, I didn't ask you.
Well, I happen to know something really know. Cool about Julie.
I don't know anything That's about myself. It. Please, Jenny, tell Please. Me more
she
about
has,
me, because I don't shit. Know. What
she has say. Really cute buns on top of her head.
I wear space buns in
space
the brewery.
Buns.
Yep.
Keep
goes well with smoked Helles, I've heard.
Yeah. It does.
They're smoking. Oh, God. That's so cheesy.
What's your favorite food?
Indian food.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know. Are we going like personal here?
Yeah.
Work.
Whatever.
Work
I mean,
people
sure.
don't know about
you
me.
Know, yeah, anything just
anything
crazy.
Random?
Anything goes.
I was a twin.
Oh, no
was,
shit.
Was? Yeah. No.
See, that's what I'm talking yeah. about. Yeah. Identical or what?
No, fraternal.
Damn,
my mom
crazy.
Had a miscarriage with my twin.
Oh, I think you told
oh, okay.
me
this.
When she was like 6 months.
I was about to get so. Really sad, and that is sad, but I thought, okay.
Well, and the craziest part is my parents never told me I was a twin. I just like always
oh.
knew. I came out like
oh, wow.
knowing. When I was a little kid, I like said something to my mom about it, and she was like, who told you that?
Really?
And I was all, No one. I just like knew like.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Huh?
How does that help your brewing career? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, really.
Does your,
yeah.
does
That's
your
a great question.
Twin,
well,
because
yeah,
like,
it's
help
like,
you?
Yeah, like I'm, you know, I feel like I'm two people in one.
Yeah.
Somebody's always got your back.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
You know, just ramping
Hell yeah.
me up in my head.
If like,
are you
yeah.
a Gemini?
Dude, no.
Wouldn't that be crazy, though? That
would be.
So if your beer is going to boil over, does your twin let you know?
Yeah, yeah, I've got, like, yeah. the sixth sense.
Yeah,
sweet.
The little, like,
I do have really good, like, instincts and, like, I get, like, feelings of, like, if I think I know something, like, it's probably true. But, yeah.
Damn. So.
I think we should talk about the brewery a little bit.
Which one?
Yeah.
Because yeah. It's kind of a cool thing that there's a brewery in Utah County, and now there's two.
Yes.
And, I mean, they're both Strap Tanks.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the first one was in Springville,
yeah.
which is down, for people who don't know, Utah County is south of Salt Lake City. It's a big, heavily populated valley that just is different from Salt Lake. Salt Lake is a lot more liberal. Utah County is a lot more conservative. And
yes.
it's very Mormon heavy, I would say. The
yes.
BYU is the big school that it's like the Mormon school. That or college, I should say. It's not just a school. University.
Such disrespect.
I know. I'm so disrespectful. It's a university. But
salt on the wound? Is that what this is about?
Sorry, I forget there was this holy war last night, right?
Oh, yes.
Utes versus BYU was
yes.
last night, the big football game.
Big
I
thing,
kind
yeah.
of forgot. Sorry,
For
guys.
Bro.
I forgot. And if anybody's listening to this podcast, it's probably like a month later. And, and they're like, whoa, when did they record this? But,
it's all
I know. So, yeah, anyway, yeah, Utah's
it's
one of these
August
things.
30th. It's a Friday. We're here
it's
at Strap
Labor Day.
Tank.
It's Labor Day
location.
Weekend. Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
go ahead and date ourselves.
Let's date it.
Time, it's, oh, yeah, but, I said 5:30.
But anyway, there's lots of Mormons here, and they don't drink. They don't drink alcohol, so to have a brewery in Utah County is kind of a big deal. There wasn't one for, what, 139 years or something like that before?
Pre-prohibition.
Yeah.
Prohibition.
Yes.
Yeah, was the last time there was a brewery
right.
in Utah County. So
it's been a while. And then
yeah.
Strap Tank came in, and I went and checked it out, and I was like, holy shit. This place is crazy. Like,
yeah.
It's not your average, like, as far as visual effects go, it is not your average brewery.
Now,
like,
our owner has a very, very creative eye and is very
yes.
passionate about what he does.
Well, he's also very passionate about Harley Davidson, right?
Yes, yes, he is. And he's a builder by trade. And so building
yeah.
the breweries was, you know, he loved it. And he put a lot of work into them and made
right.
them beautiful. And
they're pretty sexy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I gotta say.
They're
yeah.
kind of
nice looking breweries.
They're over the top is what they are. Like, the original one is a Harley Davidson a factory replica.
Yep.
Yep.
And you
yeah.
drive up to it and it looks like this is an old building, but
yep.
it's not. It's brand new. It's built to look that way.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous, honestly. Like it's kind of cool. You go in there and then everything's all like there's oil splashed on the floors. Everything's distressed. It looks like an old like it's made to be an old factory that they used to make Harleys in.
Yeah, the detail like the detail and amount of work they
right.
put into like having it look old
yeah.
is insane.
The attention
so,
to detail.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's,
so
yeah. Yeah, and it adds to the experience, you know. It's
it's like a theme restaurant,
yeah,
really.
It's a fun
or three
place
theme
to go.
Brewery.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty blown away by it. I took all these pictures and I was like, whoa, look at that. Oh, look at that.
Well, and there's lots of like little hidden things
yeah.
too. That like even still today, I've been there for 3 years since
and
the beginning. And
you'll
I,
notice
like,
stuff.
I'll see things. I'll be like, wait, was that always there? I don't know. I don't think that was always there.
I don't remember that.
Although, yeah, he does bring new things though.
He does like, sometimes. Yeah,
oh,
he'll do that like, sometimes.
Does he?
Oh,
that was new.
Like the buffalo at Springville. yeah. I'm all okay. That definitely wasn't there
okay.
before.
So Rick, it's Rick Salisbury, right?
Yes, yeah. Rick
so
Salisbury.
He's the owner, and he brings stuff in sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And
he
just puts it there.
Loves like collecting antiques
yeah.
and
yeah,
like just random
with,
shit
yeah,
and
like
so he'll like
teeth, then it's
yeah.
it's fair game
yeah.
really
fun.
I'll leave one yeah. night at like 6 o'clock and it's not there, get there at 7 in the morning and there it is. I'm all what yeah. the
surprise
so
the antique fairy stopped
right.
by
yeah, yeah.
there's like a mermaid up there painted
yes,
up there.
We have two mermaids actually. One is hidden because she is exposed, and yeah. we oh. are in Utah County.
She's so. Totally hidden. Because isn't there one that they put like a bra on or
yes,
something?
Yes, we had to put the like one that you can see very visually. We put like a shell bra on her. We did that like 30 minutes before opening day. We were like, ooh, oh, maybe we should.
Well, didn't like they get told to do that? Because I thought what I heard was that they came to inspect it, and they were like, yeah, you can't have those boobs out there.
Like, I think it just was highly like suggested that we hide oh,
okay.
it.
Okay, so it wasn't like ordered.
Yeah,
it wasn't
no,
court
no.
ordered.
No, 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 no. no.
But, it wasn't that bad.
But even we have one here too. He's got a poster upstairs of this lady, this naked lady, and there's a tape just right over her nip. So I'm always all free the
She's
nip.
Just got some
hashtag
tape.
Free the nip.
Right. They but, yeah, they had to do that right before opening too.
But the funny thing about that one is you like they've covered up her nip. But you can still see her bush.
Wait, the mermaid has a bush?
No, the girl upstairs oh, okay. at I'm Lehigh.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Wait.
I'm mistaken.
We're not okay with nips.
Well, but a bush, it could be just like a fig leaf or, you know, yeah. it could
like
be.
It's a dead fig We're gonna leaf. Have That's to go why it's black. And,
there's nothing really showing. I mean, it's just pubes.
It's covered up.
Oh, good times.
It's covered up with hair. It's fine.
Go to Strap Tank Lehigh, find the bush lady, take a picture, and tag Crafty Beer Girls on Instagram. Yeah. We'll give you a beer or something.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Oh, I'll buy you a beer for that.
I know, right?
The Crafty Beer Girls podcast is being brought to you in part by the word alliteration, which is a noun and means the occurrence of the same letter or sound at the beginning of adjacent or closely connected words. For example, she sells seashells by the seashore. And by Mermaid's Bush, a new day spa and salon opening in select locations of Starbucks. And by the Utah County Comedy Club, where nothing is funny. And now back to your Crafty Beer Girls podcast with your hosts, Jenny Schaefer and Lauren Lurch.
The new Strap Tank, if you guys haven't been here, it's freaking huge. It's like the old Strap Tank. But
you're
like,
talking to them?
No, I'm not talking to them.
If you two haven't been
no,
here.
No. I am talking to you people out there.
The whole time,
all of so, you. Like. Dear listeners, if you have not been to Strap Tank Lehigh, let me tell you. It's amazing. It's like blows your mind. It's just like I thought the other one was. I mean, the other one is still really cool.
Yeah.
This one is like, let's take it and like turn up the volume like 10 times.
I mean, it's definitely.
Insanity. Yeah, honestly,
they've done
know.
A lot of cool
there's
things here. And
all
like
these
the
levels.
Patios, like
there's multiple patios. No,
and the
like,
view on the patios. Yeah,
like balconies that overlook Utah Valley, beautiful Utah Valley, and the Silicon Slopes yes. of Lehigh, Utah. And the traffic jams on the freeway.
I was gonna say I-15 backed storm. Up. Yeah.
Because yes, there's
the construction. It's really
construction and a lot of tech just moved in here, so it's a little. If you get run into traffic, that's probably normal.
Yeah, but that's normal for Utah, right?
Yeah.
If you're not in traffic, are you
it
in
is
Utah
a city? After
but Lehigh, like, I mean, it's kind of where it's happening, right?
Like,
No, this place exploding. Is booming right now. It's crazy.
Yeah. Are you guys? How busy have you guys been since you opened? Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Sean?
No, because I've been here like for the past or since we opened. Really, we got our manufacturing license I think on the 30th of July. So
it's been a month.
I've pretty much been here every day.
Have you been brewing here since
then? Yeah. Yeah. Like just trying to get beers in the tanks and everything, but yeah, it's been insanely busy. Like, there's when I take garbage out at the end of the night, there's people just like waiting on the curbs outside.
Oh my
like,
god!
Like, there's just giant lines, and there's parking all down the street. It's been insane. Really.
This is why we're like relegated to the brewery because there's no tables available for us.
But that being said, I hope everyone is a patient and understanding of the restaurant.
It'll mellow out.
Right.
They are trying their hardest up there.
Well, it's new and it's a shiny new thing and it's closer to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
No, so people who live in Salt Lake that didn't want to drive down to Springville are like, hey, I can go to Strap Tank.
Yeah, it's really not. It's from probably like South Salt Lake. It's only like 20, 25 minutes. So it's very close.
Not at rush hour.
Pretty
not
nice.
At rush hour. No. Add about an hour to that, and then we're there.
Sean, did you have any input when they were building the brewery here?
So I came on board about a year ago. And they already kind of had the general layout of the brewery done. But since I did come on, I did have some say in it. So I was able to get a cold liquor tank because we started treating our water. So that just helps us save water and have more consistent knockouts too.
What does that mean, knockouts?
From the boil kettle to the fermenter. Cooling it down.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
So I got to do that, and then just the general flow of things, how I want it.
Okay.
Nice.
Got to design it.
So the setup of the brew house, basically.
Yeah.
A lot. Okay.
Yep. So, I mean, we already had the space, so I was like, okay, this is what we have to work with, and just have to figure out the best use of that space, which filled up very quickly.
Yeah.
So when we first came in here, I was like, oh, yeah, there's so much room. And then,
well, compared to the other brewery. Yeah,
other brewery, and then we threw an extra tank in there, and then it filled up very quick.
You've got room for a few more in there.
Yeah.
I bet you could squeeze them in.
Just maybe a little guy, yeah.
Well, because it's kind of a long, narrow space.
Yeah, it's like long and narrow,
instead
right.
of wide.
Yeah, yeah. So. And originally, too, like, if you can see, our grain mill is in the far end corner, so there's a giant auger going
up.
Oh,
pain in the ass.
Yeah, it was supposed to go in this room right behind us over here, but that didn't work out, so
then bummer.
Had to figure that out.
Oh, wow.
So.
So how much bigger is this brewery than the other one in Springville?
Yeah, so the actual brew house is only 5 barrels larger. This is a 15-barrel brew house.
Okay.
But the cellar capacity, so fermenters, is about, like on an annual basis, about 2,000 barrels bigger. So we can do close to 3,000 barrels here.
Nice.
In a year.
That's good.
So.
Well, you're going to need them because everybody coming from Salt Lake and finally... I mean, are you guys bottling here?
No, we're still doing that in
Springville.
Yep.
Okay.
So we have the package agency down there. We don't have one up here just yet.
Okay. So that's going to change.
It might.
Oh, okay.
Cans or bottles.
Is it like a problem to get one?
Bitch.
I mean, it can always be tough, but I was kind of deciding what to do, if it makes sense to have it up here or not with the...
Yeah.
With that, but,
sure. So now you can answer Lauren's question.
Yeah.
Cans or bottles?
So we're doing bottles still. I was looking into canning up here because I was like, we're going to have so much space. But now, as you can see, it'd be tough to get a canning line in here and then storing those cans.
Yeah.
Because, like, being so close to American Fork Canyon, too, I thought it would have been great to have cans to go because, like, people go camping and it's like, or going climbing, anything like that. You can stop by, grab some beer, and go. But, in the meantime, we just have growlers. So
what about maybe crowlers?
Crowlers, yeah.
That's a crowler machine. That would be, you guys have those down there.
Yeah, we have one in Springville. We don't have one here. So that's something that I was pushing for. Because, like, ideally, you'd rather have a crowler instead of a growler.
When you go camping or hiking,
exactly.
For sure.
That'd be kind of a good compromise. So.
Well, the bottles that they have had down in Springville have been like these extra fancy schmancy bottles too.
They're very
and
bougie.
heavy and like take up space.
They French.
They're not
they're
the most.
Yeah, they're French.
Are they really?
They are imported from France. Yeah.
Oh my god, they're insane. Like I can't throw them away. I'm like, I got to do some craft project with this bottle.
I have so many at my house in my basement, like boxes and boxes.
What are you going to do with them?
I thought about maybe cutting them and do like glasses out of them or do like vases.
Vases out of it.
Yeah, but then I also have like 200 bottles here. So that seems like a lot of work.
I doubt that you could really like give them to homebrewers either because they're a weird like size.
Yeah, it's the European crown for the top. Right. So it's like,
it's 28.
So you wouldn't
millimeter.
Even build
them. It's like larger.
Yeah,
26 is standard.
26 is standard, yeah.
Yeah, it's 28.
So that's, it's another fun part Biggins. Of it, too. Yeah.
Good luck getting that at a homebrew shop.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, maybe they'd have it.
Yeah, but just cork it, it's fine.
Just cork it.
Be easier.
Just put a cork in it,
They want to look like wine bottles.
Actually, can you do that? You can just get like a cork and cage and do it yourself?
You probably can do a kit. You might.
As a homebrewer?
I'm not suggesting anything, but I mean, if you want to try it.
When I was at Red Rock, we tried, one year when we were packaging Rev, we had like a few bottles and we're like, yo, we got those old corks upstairs. Should we just like cork some off for ourselves? And sure enough, up in the like attic upper storage space area, they had like a corker. Like the old fashioned like hand pull style and so we corked a few of them and like they were nice and worked out. Yeah.
What's the advantage to that?
looks pretty nice.
It looks cool.
Just looks cool, or is there like a practical?
You can't like it can help with aging if you're into that. Like
okay,
I'm not a huge believer of it because like you're gonna get more oxygen ingress with that too. So it's like
right.
I don't know. It's
it can hold more pressure.
Yeah, right.
So like
yeah.
you think about champagne, like I don't know what's that at 4 volumes or something of CO2. So you can't really do that with just a normal cap. Like it'll pop off. But with cork and cage, the whole point is like the cork, it kind of gives a little bit and the cage doesn't.
Cage,
So it stays in place.
Okay. So you don't have a bomb and that goes off in your cellar. And
exactly.
come to find like beer everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks. We do need to talk about the fact that we have this awesome female brewer with us. And
not that the male brewer isn't
not that
awesome.
The male brewer sure. not that the male awesome brewer well. Isn't awesome because he's super awesome, but there's lots of male brewers
awesome.
But you know, you just don't see a lot of female brewers, right? Like Lauren's a female brewer, and Julie recently took over that position. How long have you been doing the brewing thing?
So I got into like home brewing only like 4.5 years ago, almost 5 years now ago.
Was that before you started working at Strap Tank?
Yes. Okay. It was like right before I started working at Strap Tank, like 1.5 years before I started working at Strap Tank. I actually know Rick and Vicky fairly well.
Okay.
And so I knew they were building a brewery and I just was like, I want in, like, I want to be there. Like, that's what I want. I like home brewing. Like, I like brewing. I'm interested in that.
Nice.
And so I got a job serving there. And then I just bugged the brewer constantly. Got, like, kind of a little part-time gig in there washing kegs and just helping out. And then he let me do a brew with him.
And we're talking about the previous brewer.
Yes,
Mike.
Yes, the previous,
Mike Domowski.
Yes, Mike Domowski. And he let me brew with him one day. He let me choose what I wanted to brew. Obviously, I did a sour because sours are my thing. And then he asked me what I wanted to name it, and I was all Julia.
Yeah. Wait, didn't you do like a purple glitter beer or something like that?
Oh, no, that's Cosmic Fog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was with Sean.
That's with Sean. So, yes. Okay.
Mike shot me down on that one, so I had to wait till Sean came in, and I was like, Sean, we're doing purple glitter beer.
Nice.
I think the glitter like evolved from it, though.
Yeah.
Maybe it was from the beginning.
I mentioned it, but Sean was all, And then one day like he was like, yeah, let's put glitter in it, and I was like, yes.
So it's like, how ridiculous can we make this beer?
And
it just morphed into that.
It looked like a freaking unicorn beer or something. Like it was,
it's fun. It's it definitely. And that's like a fun story. Like, I don't know. I felt like we did it. I think a lot of people have like think they know why we did it, and like it's not why we did it.
Yeah, like originally I was gonna call it Weird Flex because that was a meme that was popular at the time, and we're like. Because Julie brought up the fact that you can make a tea with butterfly pea flower and make it purple. I was like, oh, that's cool. Let's do that to a sour beer and like dry hop it to like really mess with people. And like, it's like, oh, yeah. Like, why is it purple? And so it kind of started with that. And then then she brought the glitter and it's like, yeah, that'd be awesome. Let's put some glitter
that's
in there too.
Crazy.
And
then,
Well, so it was like, it just, how crazy could we make it really?
And then we kind of had this idea of like people drink with their eyes first. That's the first thing you drink with is your eyes. And like people who aren't into beer or aren't into craft beer, like,
and sour
they
beer
see
too.
And they see like a purple glittery drink, they're gonna be like, yeah, I want that. Like, yeah, I want to drink that.
Fuck is that?
So like if it gets someone drinking craft beer and
they're like, I didn't think I like sour beer, but I like the way it looked and I tried it and it turns out I do like sour beer.
Nice. Well, I think like a majority of the like beer geeks did like see it and say, I have to drink that.
Yeah.
I need my Instagram photo of that beer.
Right?
Because like, it looks so cool.
The gram.
Yeah.
It is really funny how polarizing glitter beer is though.
It is.
Like people are either like, oh yeah, okay, I'll try it. Yeah, that's cool. People are like,
fuck that shit. That's yeah. dumb.
That's what we kind of, we were like, well, oh, well, man, all the brewers are going to be so yeah. pissed at us and be like, well, fucking like, cop outs. Yeah. 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 So all nice. Right, bring it.
Yeah, and like, they're scary to you too, because like, well, this beer better not suck also, because like, if you have a sucky beer yeah, that's like, purple and glittery, you're like, oh, man, yeah. what have I done?
Right, right. so it's like, cute, super cute, but it's just
it's
sucks.
Like yeah. beer.
Yeah. Oh, man. So it would still sell out, but you might just feel bad.
There are a lot of marks to hit that I think we were pretty happy with.
Yeah,
so.
We were happy with how it turned out. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like a sour dry hopped beer, is that right?
With fruit.
With
yeah.
fruit? With we're mango?
Nice.
And passion fruit.
And passion fruit, yeah.
Oh my
God.
Trying to hit all the hype.
I never got
to
try it. Nice. I kind of, well, I wanted to, but I never got around to it. Yeah,
well.
I missed out.
I hear they might be making it again soon.
Oh, yeah? So. They might?
Have you guys ever seen
I don't know.
Have you ever seen a brown glitter beer?
What?
It's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Why? Why would you do that?
Wait, where did you
I saw a picture of one somewhere one time. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, see, that's what I wanted to avoid.
Like, it's like you literally ate glitter and then...
Jenny?
What?
Jenny? Well, first of all, it doesn't come out like that.
I think that was like the
well, that'd be sweet, though.
That'd be pretty funny.
That's the only reason why I drink the glitter beer.
No, that was probably the most asked question we got was,
of course.
Am I going to pee glitter?
And then you say yes.
Like, no, you poop it, actually. Really?
No.
You ever seen unicorn poop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what you're going to have.
Yeah. Woohoo! Also turns a rainbow.
Yeah.
This edition of the Crafty Beer Girls podcast was recorded on location at the new Strap Tank Brewery in Lehigh, Utah, nestled amongst the Silicon Slopes and just adjacent to the Traverse Mountain Outlet Mall. You will find this one-of-a-kind and stellar craft beer brewery at 3661 North Outlet Parkway, or visit their original location in Springville, Utah at 596 South 1750 West. For more information, visit StrapTankBrewery.com. And now, back to your Crafty Beer Girls podcast.
So what's in the works for the future at both locations? You guys have anything fun coming up? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, God, we got so much going on.
Nuts.
I guess the thing I'm most excited about is I love pumpkin beer.
Do you?
Get the fuck out. This is done. Oh, yeah. We are done
pumpkin
here.
Beer. It's okay.
Goodbye.
Pumpkin beer.
It's okay.
Good
you're
night.
Safe here. You're
pumpkin
safe here.
Well, you're gonna love.
It gets better.
You're gonna love this then.
I can't wait.
It's got glitter.
So
glitter pumpkin
beer. It's
gonna
be a brown glitter beer, isn't it?
Maybe.
Nothing.
No. So I've been toying around with this recipe for a while. I brewed one at home, like a pumpkin spice latte beer. A PSL, if you will.
You guys, never mind.
And then, I told Julie about this, and she's like, well, why don't we make it a lager then? So it's a pumpkin spice lager.
Yeah. Fuck you guys.
And it's an actual PSL.
Guys. Like an actual PSL.
No. That's awesome. So, right? I'm into it.
Yeah. So we're like, we're going to add some coffee to it, some pumpkin spice. Like,
fuck you guys.
It's
going
to be awesome.
Pound that.
Disgusting.
So, and then, you know, in addition to that, making a session fest beer too for the fall.
I'm going to need some more
Lauren's into the Lauren's into the hellas of this like, session beer. You know, like, whatever.
You got to have fun brewing, too.
Hey, I think pumpkin beers are just one of those things. Like, you love them or you hate them.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a little bit of a love-hate because if they're not good...
They're not good.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about pumpkin beer.
There's no pumpkin in them?
Yeah.
No. Well, I was going to say they're not good, but...
Oh!
That's just that me.
Yeah, that is just Lauren. Lauren's favorite fall beer is wet hop beer.
Yes.
See, my favorite's usually like Oktoberfest and Fest beer.
Yeah.
So I was like, how can I make a lager that's with pumpkin? And
you guys going to do a wet hop beer?
Probably not.
You should say yes.
But yeah, so like I really want to make a Fest beer, which, you know, is... similar to the Oktoberfest, but lighter in color, not as caramelly.
Right, like the actual Oktoberfest beer.
Exactly, yeah. So made a session version of that at 4%. So I'm really excited about that. We have that in the fermenter right now. So that'll be coming out in the coming weeks.
Yay.
But really excited for that. And yeah, those are really my favorite fall beers.
Well, I'm coming out for that pumpkin one for sure.
Yeah,
because that sounds awesome.
Right?
Yeah, I like the pumpkin spices are... They're just so good.
And, yeah, just like put on anything.
You talk
really.
About putting like latte.
I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Are you gonna put like lactose in it too?
So I was gonna do that, but I feel like it doesn't really add that much. Like it's kind of it gets drowned out by everything else. So to kind of replicate that creaminess, I'm gonna add vanilla.
Oh, that'll be
but
good.
Like, but like not in high amounts, just in like
yeah, because. Yeah, that'll
like
be awesome.
Just detectable. I'd be like, oh, it's like kind of maybe cream or like something like
that. Well, but the beer, the pumpkin beer that I like, that I've liked the best, kind of reminds me of a pumpkin pie in that it has a little bit of that. You can almost think you can taste the whipped cream.
Yeah.
And then you can almost taste the crust because something, there's something going on with that malt bill that's like giving me a toasty note or something like that.
That malt bill.
Or malt, whatever the hell. What else is that?
No, you're right. I was just saying that.
You're just making fun of me.
Southern yeah, no, like
the, we're in Utah like, County, like, so.
Yeah, malt beal.
I actually am from Utah, so I just talk the way I talk. Get over it. But, yeah, and it like has that pumpkin spice, and then it just kind of, you're just like, oh, it almost just tastes like this, like, you know, super subtle pumpkin, but pumpkin pie flavor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it.
When you can get all that into balance, then it's just great.
I think the coffee will make it awesome.
Yeah.
Because the dark beers that are pumpkin beers have traditionally been my favorite because they have that chocolate.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
like pumpkin chocolate chip cookies or something like that. And that's, I'm like, ooh, that, no, that's awesome. But I think the coffee will be, it'll be a light beer though. So it'll be kind of like trippy.
Just be like crushable too.
It'll be so awesome.
So what else you got?
Next. What are you up to, Julie, down in Springville? Are you doing anything new?
Does he let you do stuff on your own?
Yes, definitely. He does let me do stuff on my own.
I forget he's your overseer, but.
No, definitely. He's my overseer.
Well, you
never
know.
Never forget.
Boss. Boss, dude.
I actually just brewed a damp beer, so I'm a little bit excited about that. See how that turns out.
I've had that before.
Yes.
You guys had it there.
We had it before, yes. Yeah. But obviously this is my version.
It's your version.
Yes.
Would you explain that style for our listeners?
Dampf beer is like a Hefeweizen, but it's all barley, so there's no wheat in it. And it is darker in color. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's interesting. Like, it's definitely like a trip to drink because it
has the Hefeweizen.
The Hefeweizen, like, notes and things to it, like that banana-y to it.
Yeah.
But it's different because it doesn't have anything like oats or wheat to, like, back that up. It's just all barley, so.
I like that beer. Fun. I did an article on that beer, actually.
Yeah. No.
It's, when it came out. I was into it.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's a very specific style.
Well, it's kind of like a steam beer, right? Like, isn't
Everyone said that, but it's not really. No? Like, I know. That's what, like, everywhere online talks about it being like a steam beer.
Yeah, steam beer is with a lager strain at ale temperatures.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So it's just like, well, Hefeweizen is an ale at ale temperatures.
Yeah, it's still a normal beer.
It's really not that.
No.
Okay,
no.
Got it.
Yeah.
I wonder why they say that.
It's more like.
Because isn't that what it means? That's what damp beer means, I think. It means steam beer, I think. I think that's how, I think that's the translation.
Get out the Google.
No, I can't remember what the translation is. Google but yeah, Google it.
Dearest Google, won't you answer my question?
Yeah. Steam beer, like, that one makes sense to me.
Yeah, it's just a Hefeweizen without wheat, pretty much is what it is.
Dampf equals steam. German equivalent of a steam beer. Dampf equals steam. Dampf beer used an all barley malt bill, whereas traditional steam. Yeah. Maybe you're supposed to be using a, like, different yeast.
Maybe you're supposed to ferment it at
maybe you're using
the wrong temperatures. Maybe I messed up.
You fucked it up.
God damn it.
Guys, what are we drinking right now?
This is Bonkers Brown Ale. So this was one of the first beers I made when I started with Strap Tank. So I called it Bonkers because I didn't make a hazy pale ale.
That's bonkers.
Because that's what everybody...
It's bonkers, yeah.
Well, when was that? How long have you been here?
About next month will be a year.
So. Okay.
Yep.
So last year when you got here, everybody was making hazy beers,
still
and you're
are,
like,
you know,
so "Yeah, well,
that's
yeah."
That's why I have two on tap right now. But
oh, you do?
Yeah.
There's two on tap.
There's two on tap right now. Yeah.
Cool.
So. You hear that, you haze well, boys? No. Get your asses down here.
Hazy boys.
Let's go. Nice. So why do you like this brown so much?
They're like one of my favorite styles. They just have even at 4%, you can have such a depth of flavor with them. Because we use like, I want to say there's like 6 different malts in this.
Yeah.
So, wow. And there's just, huge contrasting flavors in there. You got like fresh baked bread, chocolate, kind of a sharp roast, a little bit of like spicy herbal notes from the English hops.
I'm getting some licorice.
Licorice, yeah. There's just a lot going on, and you can still drink a lot of it and feel fine. So
yeah, it's not like too heavy. Like,
it's very satisfying for me.
Yeah, I like it.
I think it's another good food one.
Oh, yeah.
Put it with food.
Get some. Put that with like a nice steak or a burger.
You got
on the way.
Especially for fall. I feel like
cheddar cheese.
Good for fall.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was a year ago when Sean first came in. This was, our first brew that I think we did. And he asked me what I thought would go well down in Springville. What would like go over good? And I was brown ale. Like, we do not have any malty beers down here, and I love malty beers, and it's almost the fall. We need malty beers.
Yeah, it's a good, transition into that cold weather.
So that was nice, too, is a lot of the beers we were able to do in Springville are all mostly malt-forward, and it's those are the beers I like at 4% also. And so we were able to do quite a few of those.
Sean, when you're not brewing, what are you doing?
Sometimes I still homebrew.
Have time for that?
Sean homebrews.
I make time.
Do you make time? Awesome.
Because that's kind of like the pilot. Like if I have an idea or if I just want a beer that's not 4% on draft, then make it at home.
Well, soon we'll be 5.
Yeah. We're excited for that.
Are you?
An
extra percent in the draft beer. You think that'll make a big difference?
I think so.
Okay, cool.
I feel it makes some really good lagers and really good pale ale. So
sweet.
6% would have been ideal.
Better.
But sure. 5%, we'll take what we can get. So
Well, that's kind of what we do here.
Yep. Exactly.
Take what we can get.
But I think 5% is still a really good level to have. So for a lot of the styles we want to make, they actually fall within that. So
sweet.
Don't have to pretend it's a style at 4%.
Can
actually deliver on the promise.
Well, do you think it'll be like November 1st, everything will all of a sudden be 5%, or will it take a while?
Everyone's going to have to run out of their inventory first.
Right.
But
for sure.
I want to try and time it so we can have something like that. And we're not going to scale everything to 5%.
Right.
Too.
Not everything will.
It's like,
there's some beers.
That'd be kind of funny, though.
Well, you won't have
to worry.
We're
4%.
Now we're 5%.
Every single beer.
Every single beer is 5%.
So, I think we'll have a couple at 5, but then a bunch of others will be around like 4.5. And like Lehigh Light, probably at 4.2.
That session life.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great.
I mean, we've been here in the brewing industry for a while now, so everything at 4% is just like, that's what it is. And like, just to understand how stupid absurd that is.
Yeah.
Like that every beer that you make is at the same alcohol percentage. Like what?
Yeah.
The fuck.
That's actually,
that is ridiculous.
A really good point because that's true. Everything is basically right at 4 because, or at least I think it is.
I mean, yeah, we only made one we made a 3.5% mild.
Don't forget about Saul's beer.
Yeah, Saul's beer too. our owner wanted Rick wanted, a very low alcohol beer, so we made a 1.7%.
Right, I remember that
beer.
That was actually a really good beer.
Thank you.
Was it one you brewed or was it? Oh, okay.
He wanted 1%, but like I used the mash tun for it. Like we could have just got malt extract and thrown it in the kettle.
Oh, okay.
But like the smallest load our mash tun could take was to make a 1.7% beer.
Okay.
So
also, I mean, just for safety reasons, you don't want to go much lower than that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like even at that point, like
I mean the pH still gets low, but like it's still
So it could like kill you or what?
No.
It's just it's not as what's the word I'm looking for?
Like alcohol creates like a stable environment where certain things can't grow or consume.
Right. So
things
it can go
in that environment.
And it's usually like if you get below it like 3%, I would be maybe a little nervous.
Right. Then there's room for other things to move in. Yeah.
And then tiered that low, you can't add that many hops, which also inhibit things to grow. So it doesn't have that going. The only thing it really has is the pH. And that has sugar.
There's
in
sugar.
It, so
sugar is also something that kills things,
like, I think. Yeah, I mean, high concentration, but things can feed on it too. But true. if you have a low alcohol beer, it's just not going to be as stable. But I mean, we keep it cold all the time, so there's really,
It's not like you're trying to package it and distribute it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not sitting on a shelf for months and months.
Somebody in Kansas is like, hey, so.
Yeah. I don't know. This tastes a little funky. Right. If you can taste something, then something's wrong.
Right.
So everything we've brewed is usually 4%, and then we have 3.5%.
Yeah. So once the 5% hits, you don't think it'll be like that then. It'll be, will everyone won't just be brewing everything at 5?
It's tough to say. I think some might, but I don't know. I try and respect styles as much as I can, even though when we put glitter in beer and stuff.
we are very respectful of beer.
But if we're trying to brew something, not going to brew a brown ale and be like, yeah, that's a Doppelbock.
Right.
I can't do that. Having that 5% leeway will open more doors.
Will you feel better about being able to call an IPA or a pale ale? There's that whole thing.
Yeah, because I hate calling 4% beer IPA.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do.
I would like calling it a session IPA at 5% or even at 4.5%, you might be able to deliver more on that. But pale ale, that's prime territory, I think.
Right.
5% pale ale is exactly what I'd want.
Yeah.
Which would be great. And then I think one of the things I'll probably make right away is a Vienna lager, because that'll be great at 5%, and it'll be November. So
perfect.
It's that's awesome. And then, that really opens up the majority of lagers, I think. So we'll be cranking a lot of those, I think.
You like to make lagers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lager beer.
Even though they take more time.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah, it's all worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Hashtag, it's worth it.
Worth the wait. Yeah.
Sean does the lagers up here, and I do sours in Springville, so.
Yeah, nice. we have a culture going on just in its own tank in Springville for our kettle sours. So
cool.
We essentially treat a kettle sour, we just move the wort at that point into the vessel and sour it, and then put it back into the kettle and boil it. But we've had the same culture going for 9 months or something.
Oh, yeah. Do you just have resident lactobacillus vessel?
Warning. Warning. Beer nerd alert. Scientific talk ahead.
We got three species different of lacto in there.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's way cool.
Does that freak you out a little bit?
We're pretty good with it. Yeah. If you're down, it's nowhere near the main cellar. And it has its own hose. So I had to buy an 80-foot hose to reach it.
Holy shit.
But it's it's a good investment to have. We call it our zoo. So it's got a bunch of wild animals in there.
I love it.
So awesome.
Zoo over here.
Yeah. So, all our sour beers come from that. And depending on the sourness, we'll either let it sit for 24 hours or 48 hours. The really sour beers that we put out sit longer, obviously. And then if we just want a subtle tartness, you said the watermelon goza, which was just a little tart, but that was only in there for 16 or 18 hours. I think so.
That was a good one. I had that one. That was the other one had when I was here.
We went through that one pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good one.
Yeah. It was very subtle. It was not it would be, there's definitely beer. If you're somebody who doesn't know if you really like beer that much and you just want to check it out, there's definitely some nice entry level, or I guess I was going to say, not just beer in general, but a sour. If you're not, I don't know if I like a sour,
and that's,
but
most of the things we do are subtle.
Yeah.
So it's there's not having over the top flavor.
Right.
It's if you can have a couple things going on versus just one big thing, I'd much rather have that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a theme in all of our beers.
Definitely, I think.
Restraint.
Being in Utah County, we have a lot of new drinkers.
Yeah.
And people who aren't used to craft beer.
Right.
And used to
it's not around here
very,
usually.
Very bold flavors. And, they They like their
how many of
light
them?
Lagers.
Right.
They,
that Lehigh yeah. Light is for you.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
You.
That's that gateway beer.
Oh, yeah.
We try to make, you know, all of our beers. Sure. Yeah. We try to make all our beers very approachable so yeah. That people can drink them and not be overwhelmed by them. I think even the majority of our sours, you know, aren't crazy over the top sour just because we want people to, you know, be able yeah. To drink them and enjoy them and have a few of them and really get
right.
Into craft beer.
And not have that yeah. Pucker face.
Yeah, exactly. Not like, have, yeah.
A lot like of complaints I always hear, but they're like, oh, it's not sour enough. Oh. Yeah, but like I want to have more than one.
Yeah, so,
right. Like, would you like sour, some lemons to put
like,
in your mouth?
Yeah, it's like, well, do you want your stomach to
here,
hurt? Later?
Bite into this lemon right now.
Yeah, so yeah, I think having a subtle sourness is much preferred.
I appreciate
over just,
that.
Yeah. And even with like the Helles, we did a very subtle smoky flavor.
Yeah.
We
right.
Didn't want it to
it
be.
Doesn't.
I want to work
overwhelming.
The way up
yeah, yeah. You know, we want to like make sure people are wanting to be adventurous and try things that are
yeah.
New mm-hmm. And not take a sip and be like, oh, no, 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 no. I don't want this. No, 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 no.
Like, that's campfire. I don't want that.
Yeah.
It's like, and then they're like, fuck
yeah,
craft beer.
Yeah.
Yeah
like,
and then they get like a bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah.
Quite literally. yeah. Craft beer. So.
yeah. So you got to start smaller and then kind of work the way up. But, yeah, and the smoked beer is a great example of that, too, because it's so polarizing anyway.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like, I personally love smoked beer, and it's like, yeah, the more smoke, the better. But having that restraint makes it more accessible for people to get into, and then hopefully they'll be more interested in it
right.
And want to try more later on down the road. So, like, if we do put out a darker one that has more smoke character to it, then they'd be interested in trying it, so.
Are you going to do that?
I'd like to. Oh, yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. I'd love
yes,
to.
Yes, please.
Yeah, a smoked beer at 5% sounds in like wintertime. Yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds
yeah.
Fantastic.
What kind of smoke malt did you guys use for the Helles?
So I took a huge gamble and used one I've never dealt with or even tasted. I just ordered some of the Breeze Cherrywood smoke malt.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
it
a good
is
one.
Very intense.
It is.
It's only 3% of the malt bill. So I'm like,
nice.
Oh, this might be not enough, but if. I don't want to, definitely don't want to go too high, which 3% is extremely low. Because even with like
it's a
the
pinch.
Yeah,
really.
Even like the German beechwood, I mean, you can get away with probably like 10% and get the same level. But yeah, this stuff was very potent.
Oh, okay. So you didn't need
nice.
Much.
No.
Little,
yeah.
Little
a little went well. A long way. Yeah, yeah. When I was milling in, I opened that bag and Stu came up and was like, it smells like a campfire in here. And I was like, I only put like 5 pounds in there.
Oh,
like,
God.
However much it was. But. Yeah, nice. It wasn't that much at all, but you could definitely smell it in the brewery.
Well, that's
so.
Some good shit.
It
right
was
there.
Some good shit.
Yeah.
The Crafty Beer Girls podcast is being brought to you in part by Strap Tank Breweries, Lehigh Light, a gateway beer for the people of Utah County, and by the Utah County Coalition of Multi-Level Marketing and Pyramid Schemes, who remind you to become a part of their downline today, and by the City of Springville, Utah, who would like to tell Provo, Utah, and Orem, Utah, to suck it. And now back to your Crafty Beer Girls podcast, with your hosts, Jenny Schaefer and Lauren Lurch.
Are you guys going to do any more of that foraging stuff or no? Did you guys kind of retire that?
Well, we have to because we have a bunch of bottles that say it.
Oh, really? So you guys, so a while ago, Strap Tank in Springville had a Utah Valley Forage Ale that they went out and picked like spruce. They harvested spruce and juniper.
Yes,
was it that
juniper,
too?
Yep.
And made this awesome beer with it, and it was really good. But they bottled it in the special fancy French bottles, and you guys still have bottles, so now you have to make it again.
Oh yeah,
woohoo!
it's gonna be different though.
Yeah, yeah.
So
well,
it'll have yeah.
So it's gonna kind be a sour beer too.
Okay. Hey, I'm fine with it being different. I just love
yeah.
the idea.
I wonder who influenced that.
Julie, maybe.
Yeah. No,
I
well, you do have the zoo. The zoo needs to have some
yeah.
work.
Yeah. Yeah.
The zoo needs to be fed.
The zoo needs its meat.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
It's just this monster in the basement. Like.
Yeah. So we obviously missed the window for foraging this year. But
so maybe next year.
Yeah, next year the plan is to... I've read the Goza book and discovered
ooh.
That... they originally used spruce to spice gozas. So
nice.
It's like, we're going to do an imperial goza with forage spruce tips.
So what is the an imperial going to mean? Like 7%
whatever,
or something?
Whatever the label says.
I think it's 8%.
Oh, because you have
something?
To do it what the label says.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Through to the package, don't you know?
Yeah, know.
Through the package.
Like,
follow the laws.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's, 8%. So, yeah. I've never seen, I mean, it could, it should be good.
Well, maybe work.
Yeah.
I mean, but, that's not the normal
I mean,
for
it's
a Goza, but.
No, that's why I was, like, calling it Imperial. And
Imperial
okay.
Goza?
Yeah.
Is that could be, like, the world's first Imperial
it
Goza?
Could be, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the next 15 minutes, there's a special on blowjobs, screaming orgasms, and slippery nipples at the bar. Oh, yeah, there's some drink specials as well.
So we just, like, took this tour, and we walked around the whole restaurant. There's, like, two balconies. There's one on the main level, the main level, sort of. And then there's the upper level, and they have another balcony up there that's even higher that you can see even further.
Yeah.
Over Utah Lake, pretty Utah Lake. There's there's these like cool old gas station pumps out front. When you drive up, it looks kind of like you might be driving into an old gas station. It has that facade in the front, and then these old, I think they're really actual gas station pumps, like old ones from maybe the 50s
oh, yeah.
or something.
Yeah, they are like actual.
Store, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, they're super cool. Yeah, you could just walk around the building and just, like, admire it and look up and check out the cool brickwork. And there's an old truck that's out there. Mm-hmm. Same with the Springville Brewery. The Springville has the same thing. You can walk around it, and there's really nice landscaping going on and just all this attention to detail.
And in Springville, we have the museum across the street.
We should mention that.
Yeah, our owner... Rick Salisbury has the largest collection of Harley Davidsons outside of Harley Davidson themselves. He owns
pretty good.
Wow, you know, he owns an original strap tank. There's only three left in the world. He owns one,
and there is it at the
it's on display.
It's at that museum that's right by the Springville strap tank.
Yep, it's on display. And he's
then
got lots of others.
If you want to see a replica of the strap tank, there's replicas of the breweries.
Yep, in both breweries.
Yeah, as soon as you come in, right on overlooking.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about strap tank and why. Yeah. Why is it called strap tank? Sorry, I got food in my mouth.
Strap tank is a motorcycle. The strap tank motorcycle, it's a Harley Davidson. They were built in 1903, I want to say, around there. And there is only three left in the world today. So very rare bike, and it literally is a motor strapped on
to a bike. That's what it looks like, because you look at it and you're like, wow,
a tank
that's
strapped onto a bike, tank, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what the logo is too. It's this like,
it's just tank like the tank, the engine
that
tank.
Has, it looks like it's got this like belt on it that turns it, I think, right?
Yeah.
It,
like, uh-huh. You can,
is
like
that why?
Belt,
I thought
like
that was
motor.
Why it was called the strap, because of the belt. But no, it's just because it's strapped on.
Just because it's strapped on,
Strap on.
Bike.
It's a strap
it's
on.
It's a strap on.
Couldn't help that one. Sorry.
So we're here at Strap On Brewing Company in Lehigh. Yeah,
see, that doesn't flow as well.
No,
so
it doesn't.
You couldn't go with that.
We need a completely different logo.
Yeah.
We need a completely different podcast.
So are you, you're not from Utah?
No, I'm from Nebraska.
Oh, all right.
So, yeah.
Cool. He's an outsider.
What about you, Julie? Are you from here? No.
Yes, no.
She's also an outsider.
You're kind of an outsider. Did you like move here when you were young or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
We moved around a lot when I was young, but... You know, Utah was always home base. Springville, actually.
Okay.
It's kind of always home base. So, yes and no.
Yes. I'm an outsider. I'm from New Jersey.
Oh, me too. I was born in New Jersey.
Oh, my God. Oh, waiter, get us some coffee.
I was born in the good part of Jersey. Princeton.
Hold on. I actually was born in Pennsylvania, but...
Oh. God, Lauren, lying to me already. How am
no,
I going to trust you
I moved
ever
back and
again?
Forth a bunch, okay? Listen, I went to high school in New Jersey as Wimatis.
Whoa, now I can't understand you.
Yeah, what was that?
Speaking of Utah
Don't worry
accent,
about it.
I'm sorry.
Speak Utah. Learn the language.
I don't like alcohol.
Does that work for you?
Yeah. I want to hear more about Nebraska. What do you do there?
What do you do in Nebraska?
Drink beer.
Drink beer. That so. Those are good beer in Nebraska.
Okay, so like different beer, from yeah. Utah. Cool.
Yeah.
That's already an improvement.
There's some really good breweries. They get really good distribution also. They have proper refrigeration in beer stores.
Oh, that's huge.
Wow.
What?
Very important.
Yeah. Amazing.
We have refrigeration on the plains. Yeah. No, it's really flat and boring. What most people kind of think of it as. I grew up in Omaha though, so it was the bigger city.
More of a town.
Yeah, and they have a pretty good food scene there too. But yeah, born and raised there. Went to college at the university in Lincoln. And then after that, I went to brewing school at UC Davis.
Nice.
Yeah. And then went back to Nebraska to work at Nebraska Brewing Company.
Okay, cool.
I started there as just a server to get my foot in the door. It was when I was kind of on the wait list to go to brewing school because I knew I wanted to work there because they're a really reputable brewery. So got in with them, got to know the brewers and the owners, and then went to school. And they were opening a production facility at that time, so it kind of worked out that got
they
done with
hiring.
School, and they were looking for a new brewer. So
nice.
I was able to start there. It was a small production brewery, though, about, I think we did, around 9,000 barrels or so when I was there. And they had a pretty good barrel-age program. So I got to do a bit of everything there. One day I'd be working in the cellar doing filtrations. Another day might be in the brew house making wort, and then working on the canning line. So, got
cool.
to see everything built up
good.
There. Other than just brewing and then drinking good beer, then I just ran a lot too. So
you ran a lot?
Ran, running exercise.
Oh, that not like the runners.
What
that
did you run? Oh, your body.
Yeah.
Oh, your body ran.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, so... Just did that, and it was the simple life.
That sounds like a good life.
So you're not living the simple life now, is what you're saying?
Oh, so complicated.
Well, but why did you move to Utah then?
I moved out here with somebody originally.
Okay.
And then I just really liked it. Yeah, I was just a passionate young man.
Yeah.
Thought it was a good idea, and then turns out the mountains are great.
Yeah.
So.
Then you say, that's common.
Turns out it was the mountains. Though.
That's a common refrain I've heard a lot. Actually, stayed for the mountains. Came out for somebody, but stayed for the mountains.
Yeah. It's really interesting beer culture, too. Mm-hmm. I don't think really anything else like it around. So,
really? Are we that weird?
I mean, it's pretty weird, yeah.
But is it weird in a good way?
I guess going back
in
to like
an interesting way.
Going back to the style thing where that's what I think is strange too.
Right.
Where everything's 4% and then everything that's in bottles that people buy is in the liquor store, which is usually heavily oxidized just from the warmer temperatures.
Right.
So just the beer quality was strange to grapple. So that put a new focus on only going and getting beer from breweries. Which I think a lot of people here do.
A lot of us
do that. And you
definitely
should if you're listening.
Yeah. Don't go to, go to the liquor store. That's the only place you're going to get.
But if you want the best high quality beer.
Right.
Where the breweries treat it right. Definitely go to the breweries.
It's worth the extra effort.
Yeah.
To make your rounds.
Yeah.
Not to mention it's fresher.
Yeah.
Beer doesn't travel well. And if you purchase it from the place that it was brewed in, it's going to be worth your dollar.
Yeah, because I think what people forget too, it's a food product. So, it's something that should be refrigerated. And it's not. That makes it tough. So, and it's just been really interesting, dealing with all that. And then coming here and we only sell our beer from a package agency, which I think is great. Because I don't want it sitting on a warm shelf.
Right.
In the bottles.
Yeah, you won't find Strap Tank beer
no.
in
Yeah, you
the
can only
stores.
Get it at the brewery.
Right.
So, and then everything else is on tap. So, and then just seeing the legal battle too has been, I think, really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because every state has their weird laws.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's in Texas, most breweries couldn't sell beer to go unless they had a certain license, which there's a lot of strange things. But no matter where you're at, there's always going to be something strange about it. And it's I guess, cool enough to make me want to stay and see how it plays out and just be part of the community.
Is the running good here?
It's fantastic. Yeah. I'm like, try to get up in the mountains as much as possible.
Yeah,
so.
They're beautiful for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there's really nothing like it. And then being able to, you know, drive down from going on a hike or run or bike for and drive down 30 minutes and go to a brewery. I can't really get it anywhere else.
I feel like the beer scene's pretty good here now.
Yeah,
I
no,
feel
it's
like it's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, when I first moved here, I think the taproom culture didn't really take hold yet. But I think that you can go to a ton of places that are only tap rooms and have food trucks now, and you know, just brewery hop. Which when I first moved here, I felt like it was mostly just like brew pubs. Which I didn't really
like sit down restaurants, you
right?
Mean?
Like what we are,
what you are.
So, yeah, seeing that evolution has been really interesting. Also,
well, now we have Fisher and
TF, I think Fisher was kind of the
Ketos.
First one to kind of go in and do that, and I think that was huge for just the overall beer community. So.
Totally. You see that a lot more now.
Yeah, and that's what was going on in like around the rest of the country.
Right.
But I think with our laws, it was just difficult to do. When you're trying to get those permits, I'm trying to explain to someone that isn't familiar with beer drinking, it's a really tough sell, I think.
Yeah.
So totally. The fact that they're able to do that and get it rolling and now there's other breweries and more in planning, I think it's just great for the overall community. Like, I think the more that have tap rooms and do that, the better everyone's going to be.
You can definitely go, like, brewery hopping now. There's some places
it's
where...
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's like, I live in South Salt Lake, and, like, Level Crossing's only a block away from me, and then go down the street, there's Salt Fire, and there's Shades.
Right.
All within, you know,
that's another little...
like, less than a mile.
And you also have two distilleries right there.
Right, yeah. It's insane.
Sugar House and Beehive, I think, are right there now. You can distillery hop and brewery hop.
Yeah,
you can get
all the alcohol.
You can definitely get a drink in Utah. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not...
It's
not hard.
It's changing rapidly, which is... good for everyone.
Well, so many breweries keep opening up too.
Right.
Our job has gotten so much harder, Lauren and I, to try to keep up with the new breweries. There's been new breweries that have opened that we just haven't been able to give as much coverage to as we would like, because I think we're just spread thin.
There's a lot. So, and I mean, hopefully we'll see more in Utah County also.
So where do you guys see yourselves in 2 years? What's happening?
I don't like making plans because I feel like the universe just likes to laugh at the plans you make and like fucks them up. So
all right.
I don't plan.
I dig it.
All right. I'll be looking for a brewer soon.
Speaking of which, I heard that you hired
position.
Somebody.
She is open position.
I heard that you hired somebody else.
I did. Yeah. We got some help coming in here in 2 weeks.
Nice.
So
cool.
Yeah.
That'll
somebody
be,
like
be a good
somebody
thing for you.
Like. Somebody that you know?
Do you
know?
Want me to say his name?
Sure. I saw it on Facebook, so I figured I'd ask you.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Derek DeBoard.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh.
He worked at Uinta in the cellar and then worked at Wasatch currently.
Okay.
And then now he's going to work at Strap Tank.
Well, there's a lot of that that goes around. You know?
There's so much of that that goes
around. A little bit of ring around the
room. Okay. They stole him from me originally because I was at Utah.
Oh, they stole him, and now you stole him back.
Getting him back.
There you go.
I think I'm the only person in Utah that stays at the same brewery.
You just wait.
Strap Tank for life. I'm getting a tattoo of Strap Tank. So.
Oh, you're just saying that because I said that about you leaving.
She's not
next
going
podcast will be like, Julie, where are you working now?
Oh, she's at Wasatch now.
Not
actually,
Wasatch, actually it's a position at Wasatch,
right? Because that's how it goes.
It really is.
Exactly.
It really is.
Yep.
It's so incestuous.
Never. I love Strap Tank. I am in a committed relationship with Strap Tank. I am loyal.
It is not complicated.
It is not complicated.
Yeah, I also see myself here in 2 years, though. So
that's good.
Yeah,
it's going good for you. Then.
It's a really good situation to be in. And I mean, there's a lot of room to grow still too. We still have some really big plans, so it'll be really fun to see how all that pans out.
Yeah, strapping definitely is kind of a jackpot. Like I said, I started homebrewing 4.5 years ago, and now I'm working in a brewery.
Right. a lot of upward mobility
within Strap Tank. Definitely. And, you know, we work with a lot of awesome people. And, yeah, we have awesome opportunities. So, yeah.
Well, cheers to that.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We are here at Strap Tank in Lehigh. Hopefully you will be, too, at some point.
What's the address?
For now,
it's 3661 North Outlet Parkway.
All right.
Lehigh, Utah.
There it is.
Right across from the outlets. So
we're going to be signing off. I finished my burger, my fries. I'm feeling a little sleepy.
Yeah. Lauren's got a royal appointment later.
She has something to do on Friday night, like unlike the rest of us.
I'm just stopping by my friend's house. It's too crazy. I mean, we can keep going. Well, don't let me put the lid on this evening.
Well, if you want more, because of course you do, you should go to our website, craftybeergirls.com.
Oh, yeah. We
and
do
read,
that, too.
Read our articles. We write stuff, and it's really fun. And I'm going to put some show notes up as soon as we, once this is posted, there'll be some show notes, and I'll put some links in there for some of the relevant articles that we may have discussed subject wise, like Strap Tank. I have a whole article on that. And I don't know, there was a few things that came up that I thought, ooh, there's a link to an article I can put in there. So just go check it out. And yeah, and come down here and eat and drink at Strap Tank in Lehigh. Go down to Springville because that's pretty awesome. It's the OG Strap Tank location.
Truth. You see me.
And you can go check out those Harley motorcycles at the nearby museum, so do that too. And you can email us craftybeergirlsblog@gmail.com if you have any complaints to lodge at Lauren about her distaste for pumpkin beer.
Come at me, bitch.
Please let us know.
I'm ready.
Me and Sean are just gonna spam the email.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
If you guys want to send us any pumpkin beer, please don't.
You can send it to me because I'm okay with it.
You can send it to Jenny at 123 Sandy Way. What's your address? Girl, what's your number?
Pretty much that's it.
Yeah. Should we get a
it's
P.O.
something
box?
Kind of like that.
Do you think people would send us stuff?
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, email us at craftybeergirlsblog@gmail.com if you'd like us to get a P.O. box so you can send us weird shit. We'll do that, but only if you tell us you're going to...
How about beer, though?
Yeah, I mean, beer would be cool.
I can't send you, like, one of my teeth or anything.
You can do whatever you want.
I need more CBD
it
oil.
It is the U.S. Postal Service. I'm pretty sure they have nothing against sending teeth.
Perfect. Will you wear it as a necklace?
If it looks really
weird, nice. This is getting weird.
This has been another edition of the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast, a feature presentation of Millin' Around Studios. The Crafty Beer Girls Podcast is executive produced and edited by Mike the Janitor Millin and is created and hosted by Jenny Schaefer and Lauren Lurch. Visit the Crafty Beer Girls online at craftybeergirls.com and follow them on social media. You can find this and previous episodes of the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast on popular audio streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, and iHeartMedia. To be a featured part of or host a future edition of the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast, please write to craftybeergirlsblog@gmail.com. There, you can also address your questions, comments, or concerns. This edition of the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast was recorded on location at the new Strap Tank Brewery in Lehigh, Utah. Located at 3661 Outlet Parkway, just across from the Traverse Mountain Outlet Mall. Or visit their original location at 596 South 1750 West in Springville, Utah. Check them out online at StrapTankBrewery.com. Special thanks, hugs, and kisses to featured guests of Strap Tank Brewery, brewers Sean Smith and Julie Schuler. Next time on the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast, Jenny says something silly and Lauren berates her. And as always, the team here at Crafty Beer Girls would like to remind you that if you've been drinking, play it safe. Don't drink and drive. Call a friend, call a rideshare, call a cab. Get home safely and protect yourself and those around you.
Thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to entertaining you again on another edition of the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast.